It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Come everything gon' get the power, it's the power. Power, power, power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. Power, power, power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Come everything gon' get the power, it's the power. Power, power, power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. Power, power, power.
LSU with Carter. Let's freaking go, PHL Nation. Switching things up with the lighting. Let me know if you guys like the tubes in the background. I've been working on them pretty much all day. But obviously, inventing new ways to reach out to each and every one of you. You know, we're going to talk about a pretty key member of the 2025 LSU recruiting class. He is visiting an SEC rival. His name is Keelan Moses. We'll talk about Texas A&M and so on and so on. But I did not think today was going to be the day that I would talk about Jay Johnson again. And I understand it is so painful to see all the SEC teams in the College World Series. It's also painful to see that it was an ACC team that beat you. Now, North Carolina, to me, it was either them or Tennessee who I would consider to be the best team, and LSU lost to both of them to close out, you know, their season, basically. I am still a massive believer in Jay Johnson. However, he is under siege today as many college purists did not like what he did in getting not one, but two of the players he played against to come over via the transfer portal from Wofford. All right. So a lot of you are familiar with Wofford. That's who we played in the regional. And LSU went and got both of the absolute best pitchers in the college football, college baseball transfer portal, Zach Cohen and Camden Wicker, all right? So Camden Wicker actually got hit around by LSU in his appearance, but Zach Cohen's a pretty good player. They're both good arms. And like I said, Jay Johnson very well, and this is really saying a lot considering Kim Mulkey is what many would consider, and apparently Camden did not commit to LSU, so I guess that's wrong. So whatever the case may be, the point still stands with Zach Cohen committing to LSU. And oh, okay, so it was a misreporting. Wasn't my fault. That's the info that I had received and I prepped it for today. Nevertheless, I will say the same thing still applies here, that LSU is known as the evil empire of college baseball. That is just the truth. They are known throughout college baseball as the team. It infuriated many SEC teams that LSU, who did not have a good season, was able to turn things around and have some absolutely miracle results for them to charge the way that they charged in the postseason. People want to see LSU baseball fail. And what they don't like is they went and poached the best player from a mid-major who they played against. And the optics didn't look good that LSU reportedly got two of Wofford's best players. Once again, my apologies. I saw that and I was like, wow, that seemed highly unlikely that they got both But I ran with it, and my apologies once again. You know, the last couple of hours, I've been doing some stuff to get ready for my trip to Gonzales, Louisiana. But the point still remains the same. People are slamming Jay Johnson for this. They are slamming him for going to get two of their players. Now, it looks a little bit better that you only got one of them in the minds of many. But whatever LSU baseball does, especially if they're poaching mid-major talent, is going to be criticized. Big, bad, evil LSU. But you are the Alabama of baseball. You are what everyone considers to be the absolute best program. And the simple truth is, no matter what Jay Johnson does, it is going to be heavily scrutinized, not only from basically all the other SEC teams, but even LSU fans. The bottom line is, this man will crawl through shattered glass to get whoever he wants here, even if it means going to get someone that almost beat you. Of course, LSU was able to go 2-0 versus Wofford, but it took two really big comebacks for that to happen. So there are people disgruntled, as LA Mom points out, that LSU did what they did today, even though it was only one. I thought it was two. Once again, my apologies. Everyone thought it was two, but then it got walked back and it was only one. So I love me some Jay Johnson. I really, really, really do. And I will back this man until the end of eternity. I understand. It sucks. We were nationally ranked in the top five before the season. We are not in the College World Series. Omaha is sad. Less jello shots for everyone. But I still stand by Jay Johnson. I feel like we will be back in Omaha next year. Now, I want to talk about Keelan Moses just for a little bit. All right. He is visiting Texas A&M, and he is a 2025 linebacker. All right. And as Go Tigers 195 points out, according to the Eastern Carolina Insider, I thought that that ECU pitcher did commit. And obviously, you had the Indiana State commitment yesterday, the outfielder. Nevertheless, LSU's already getting a good start via the transfer portal. Now, I want to talk about Keelan Moses visiting Texas A&M. I have zero problem with it. I really, really have zero problem with it. At this point, the only single recruit in the class of 2025 that would break my heart if he were to go on another official visit would be Bryce Underwood, because he truly is that special. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to come here and win national championships or anything, because playing quarterback is really hard to get snaps anywhere. But Bryce Underwood is so freaking good that it's going to work out at LSU. It is. But other players, I can live with them visiting and potentially decommitting. Keelan Moses, obviously the younger brother of Dylan Moses, obviously from your own backyard, U-High. We have seen own backyard recruits from U-High go elsewhere, and it hurt LSU. Obviously, Tim Williams from yesteryear went to Alabama and had a very, very good career. And then, of course, Jordan Gilbert left LSU, went to Texas A&M, became an immediate contributor, and thankfully, he is back and hopefully will be a nice player for us next year. And then, obviously, U-High has been really good to LSU, Nicholas Brissett, and then obviously Jaquelin Roy, to name a few. So it's a very, very good high school that produces really, really good players. And it's in your own backyard. But Keelan Moses is visiting Texas A&M. Now, unless there was some breaking news in the past couple of hours, I've been focused on getting these lights correct. I'm never going to do that again. It looks as if he's going to go to College Station. I will be completely honest with you. If he were to go to Texas A&M, I am not too sad about that. I would hate it, because we need as many blue chip Louisiana defensive players to commit to LSU. But historically speaking, mostly the middle tier prospects that decommit and go to a different school rarely hurt LSU. It is rare. I don't know why that's the case, because you would think that, you know, a four-star prospect at LSU will produce the same as a four-star prospect elsewhere. But there have been so many. Who remembers Kane Dobb? He was a linebacker out of Florida who was committed to LSU, and then he went elsewhere and didn't do anything. And there was people that really liked him. There have been some middle-tier guys that have decommitted and gone elsewhere and been really good players. Chris Abrams Drain being one of them. I'm not necessarily like losing sleep over that, though. I'm really not. Now, as Pegasus points out, I'm sorry, but if the ringleader of your class leaves, I think you've got a problem. My retort to that would be, how do you know he's a ringleader of the class? He has done some good recruiting for LSU. He has. But that doesn't make him necessarily the ringleader. So if Keelan Moses wants to go elsewhere, as is the case with every single high school football recruit that has ever existed, go for it. Do what you feel is best. But I don't think he's going to flip to Texas A&M. I think he wants to play at LSU. I think he wants to start his own legacy at LSU. I think he saw what happened to his brother. He went to Alabama, and Keelan Moses' brother, Dylan Moses, was a very good linebacker at Alabama. Obviously, a lot of bad injury luck, which affected his NFL career. But I think he wants to start his own legacy here in Baton Rouge. I think he will commit and stay with LSU. But I don't really care if commitments go to other schools. I really don't care if you go visit somewhere else. It's just not something that concerns me too much. But if you were to flip, it would hurt, but we would move on. We would. So I think Keelan will eventually pick LSU. Now, I understand that a lot of people would come on here and say, well, Carter, why would you just so publicly say you don't care? Well, it's how I feel about every recruit. Like, I know I should say, no, I hope every single player that commits to LSU sticks with LSU. And if you don't choose LSU, I'm supposed to hate you. That's just not who I am personally. That's just not who I am. Football is a very mental sport. If you don't feel mentally LSU is the best spot for you, or if you're committed to LSU and you need and have the urge to see what it's like to go to another school, go enjoy yourself at another school. Use up their resources. Make them think that you're going to flip. Now, that would be a major victory for LSU. What do they call that? Reconnaissance? Is that what it's called? Maybe Keelan Moses is doing that. Maybe he's telling Texas A&M, hey, I'm really thinking about you, but he's really undercover. I mean, we saw this essentially with JV and Toviano. But I go back to my initial point. More often than not, the middle tier four-star that decommits from LSU rarely comes back to bite LSU in the rear end. It's rare. Now, the elites, it's a different story. Okay? It's a different story. But guess what? There are so many topics I want to get into today. I had to push it back to 6:30 because I wanted to try the new lighting. Took a little while to program, and I want to make it I want to make the vibe in here kind of feel like when you walk into LSU ops. They have a lot of things that obviously mine doesn't look as good as that. But I want it to feel like that. They have a lot of bright purple and gold lighting. So I wanted to try it out, see what it looks like. And there you go. I'll touch on this from TPVN. Yeah, but I first off want to congratulate and shout out each and every one of you. We set the Super Chat record for the month. We had not hit $100 in a while. I really appreciate that. And I have a feeling we'll get to at least 50 in the next hour. So how do I feel about the rumor of Paul Manieri becoming South Carolina's new baseball coach? So it's official. It's already been out there, but it was official today. I don't know what South Carolina was thinking. And look, Paul Manieri is a legendary LSU coach. He is a legendary Notre Dame coach. You know, one thing I can objectively say about Paul Manieri, if you look historically at his players, so many of them became coaches. So many of them became very successful in life after baseball. Like, really look at that. And it's crazy how many really, really successful people under Paul Manieri, going back to his Notre Dame days, one of his former players became an SEC athletic director at an extremely young age at Auburn. Now, he's not there anymore. His name was Alan Green. So Paul Manieri is a great leader of men. He is a College Baseball Hall of Famer for a reason. He is a national championship head coach for a reason. I think a lot of people forget how bold he was in that game 3 versus Texas when he decided to flip the lineup card. And I think he put like Sean Ochinco in the cleanup spot. You got to think that team was loaded. It was Jared Mitchell, it was Micah Gibbs, obviously Mikey Matuk, DJ LeMahieu, and he wasn't afraid to do bold things. And I understand his tenure at the end of the LSU stuff wasn't great, all right? And he was not a great coach, and he didn't put them in the absolute best spot to win games. He wasn't a bad coach, but it was just tailing off. And I think a lot of you that follow the day-to-day baseball more than I do would tell you that. I will also tell you this. First off, I would not in any college sport go after a coach who has been out of the game to re-enter the college game. In professional sports, I would do it. High school sports, I would do it. Not collegiate sports. Not with how you have to manage a transfer portal and I have to manage a roster, especially in the SEC where things are very competitive. Now, it's going to be easier for teams to manage rosters if there is a scholarship increase. I talked about this more on Blake's show, but I have heard different things about a scholarship increase. It's something I've been very passionate about with the collegiate game. Two things I would change about college baseball is 7-inning games. I don't care too much about that because now we got a pitch clock, but there's still some times where I think a 7-inning game is better, especially midweek games and Sunday afternoon games. And then another thing was a scholarship increase, and that's what I'm most passionate about in college baseball in terms of improvement. And I've talked to Paul Manieri about this for an hour when I was a student. I think there should be a scholarship increase. I think that makes recruiting a lot easier for college baseball. It really does. It seems like it's the opposite because you're recruiting more guys and have to fill out a bigger roster, but it makes it easier. Just take my word for it. But the truth here is Paul Manieri, I just don't know if I would go get someone that's been out of it for 3 years. And bring him back. I just don't know if I would have done that if I was South Carolina. But the craziest thing was what they paid him. I mean, he is getting $1.3 million a year to coach baseball. And that is nearly double what they were paying the last guy, who wasn't terrible. Like, I mean, he was not bad. He wasn't up to standard. South Carolina baseball obviously won two national championships under Ray Tanner, but he's not terrible. And you double the salary for, and it's Manieri. I thought it was Manieri. What was I saying? Manieri? I was saying man, but it's okay. I was saying Manieri. I don't know how I was saying it. Either way, I don't know if you were correcting me or not. I don't know. Either way, though, I was very shocked that South Carolina did that. Still, Paul Manieri should still be treated as an LSU legend, as should every coach that wins a national championship at LSU. Okay. Wayne Rooney coaches baseball now. No, Terry Rooney, his assistant. But no. Thank you for correcting me. I'm Manieri. Was I saying Manieri? Either way, Manieri. Good luck to him. We'll see how it works out. I still prefer Jay Johnson. But as we always do, if you have a topic, I'll go straight to it. I also want this to be known. We're going to have to be flexible tomorrow because I am traveling. So just be on the lookout for the live stream schedule. It will more than likely be at 6 p.m. Central. I'm staying at my auntie's house. And who knows, might bring the lemony twang smoothies back out. Auntie Titi, I think a lot of you want to see her again. Whatever the case may be. Now, this was actually going to be my main topic today, but I switched it because Jay Johnson was taking a lot of heat today. I want to talk a little bit about Brian Kelly and expectations, okay? And I feel like this conversation will feel a little bit different for each and every one of you. One thing I found to be unbelievably interesting is how freaking fortunate LSU got with its schedule on so many different levels. And it's interesting to me because LSU is one of the biggest advocates for a 9-game conference schedule. And of most of the teams with an 8-game conference schedule, LSU got some really nice breaks. I think the two premier teams in the SEC for this year and next year that LSU will compete against is Texas and Georgia. All right. I feel those two programs have proven over the past couple of years to put out elite results. Obviously, both of them have been to the college football playoff in the last couple of years. Both of them have recruited at an extremely high level. Both of them have really good quarterbacks, really good offensive play callers. Georgia more so than Texas, but good offensive lines. And Georgia, obviously defensively, is better than Texas. But I think those two teams I would consider to be the class of the SEC outside of LSU and Alabama. So LSU gets Alabama on its schedule for the next two seasons, but we don't know what it's going to look like without Nick Saban. I think it's still going to be good. I think Kalen DeBoer is a very good coach. I've said multiple times, I think Alabama hit a home run with that, but they're just not going to be as good as they were with Nick Saban. That's all there is to it. Okay, because it's going to be nearly impossible to have the level of dominance that LSU had with Nick Saban. But whether it be the start times or the schedule draws, everything just kind of piled into LSU's favor. And with that has changed my expectations of what LSU needs to do over the next couple of seasons. As many of you know, I am of the belief that you need to be flexible with how seasons go. All right. If some of the years you make the college football playoff, that's great. Oftentimes, there are other things that are out of your control that make you miss a college football playoff or have an 8-4 season. I am open for interpretation for how we view seasons. But I will put this once again in your face, and you can draw your own conclusions. But this schedule, the one you're looking at right now, does not have Texas, does not have Georgia, who I think are probably the two teams that you fear the most in the SEC right now. And you get the absolute worst team in the SEC on your schedule in Vanderbilt. You get a Florida program that is on the downturn. We'll see if DJ Lagway can bail them out, but I doubt it. Alabama, new regime, no Saban. Arkansas spiraling out of control. Ole Miss is really the only team you can say that is trending in a positive direction that they've never been at before. A&M feels pretty good about their direction, but we'll see what happens when they actually get on the field. Oklahoma, to use a word a lot of your kids would say for their standards, have been basically mid. But then you look at UCLA. UCLA, they don't have Chip Kelly anymore. USC, they're trying to, you know, get out of playing you in Las Vegas. Clemson next year. Do you think Clemson now is a Clemson of old? They're still going to be really good. But I truly do believe that Brian Kelly, if he cannot make the playoff at least once over the next two seasons, you have really got to question if he is the right guy. And I think if Brian Kelly was sitting right here right now, that he would tell you the same thing. So I will give you an ultimatum. You can timestamp this June 12th, 2024. Serious discussions about Brian Kelly as a head coach would need to be made if we can't make the playoff at least once in the next two seasons. All right. You've got to make it at least once in the next 2 years. You've got to. You're telling me you get Vanderbilt? That's an automatic win. Vanderbilt is an automatic win. So, with the Power 5 team at a conference that's on your schedule, you're telling me that basically you have 17 games over the next two seasons, and you just have to avoid three losses and you're in? I don't think it's too much to ask. Hey, we need to be in the playoff at least once over the next 2 years. And even with the schedule breaks that LSU got, or should I say, even without, I think that is fair expectation for LSU to be in the playoff at least once over the next two seasons. Now, type Y for yes if you agree with that take. Type N for no. Type Y for yes. Type N for no. Am I wrong with that take? Just let me know. Now, we take a look at the poll question for tonight. LSU has a blank schedule for 2024. 62% of you say tough but manageable. Jared says we should be in the playoffs every year. I agree. But I'll give Brian Kelly some wiggle room with that. Because the SEC is tough, and injuries do happen, and weird things happen. Yeah, Pegasus, I don't think that's crazy at all. I will always say this. I don't think it is ever crazy if one player doesn't end up playing at X school, right? Like, I mean, I don't even know if Lane Kiffin's own son will play for him when he actually becomes a collegiate player. I don't know. Nothing shocks me anymore. Nothing. I was kind of shocked that Arch went to Texas. I thought he was going to go to Alabama. I really, really, really did. Now, coming up, I do want to chat a little bit about one of the more controversial moves that Brian Kelly made this past offseason. But first,
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. All righty, so I want you to take a look at this young man right here. His name is Naeem Alford. I think that's how you pronounce it. Corey Raymond's making a push. He is currently an Ohio State commitment. 6'1.5", 185 from Birmingham, Alabama. We have a lot of Birmingham PHLers in here. Corey Raymond's making a push. And basically, Corey Raymond has gone after pretty much every single five-star recruit that you can think of in this class. Obviously, the main focus has been DJ Pickett for LSU when it comes to corners. And they already have Antoine, the four-star DB from Louisiana, that's locked in. But Corey Raymond's making a push for the big fish, the long, lanky corners that he normally likes. I mean, DJ Pickett is your prototypical Corey Raymond corner from the state of Florida, which he's very familiar with. But I got a chance. Please go drink lava after this. I would expect Jared. I would expect Jared to say something as crazy as that dad joke of the year. Hope they offered him a scholarship. I think it's a long shot to get him, but I just wanted to put two more. I just wanted to put this player out there. And then Cade Phillips and Anas Kananabani. Now, that's a name. The corner names this year are just great. Anas Kananabani. Okay, I just wanted to put that out there. As many of you know, unless the steam starts to get hot for LSU, I won't talk too much about a recruit. As a lot of you know, our patrons in particular, we dropped a Brandon Brown film study. He should be committing to LSU pretty soon. The four-star defensive tackle from Florida, who's committed to Texas. A lot of people think he's going to flip and join his position coach at LSU. And that would be a really nice pickup for my vantage point, because I think by year two, he's going to be a really good SEC defensive lineman. There you go. Let's see. S. Young says no Manning will ever play at LSU. Never say never. some Ricks, Slick Ricks in here. A lot of good baseball talent in that part of the world. There is. I mean, there just is. There is a lot of really good players on the East Coast. There really is. You know, next thing, I've always said this about SEC competition in football and just overall, I think for me, LSU is about to have some positive regression towards a positive with a lot of the recruits that they are bringing in. You know, one thing that I have just can't quit thinking about is how many LSU recruits have just not panned out to the level that we expected them to. I mean, four-star or better prospects, top 100 guys. They've just not really been what we thought that they would. And once again, please go join our Patreon. Every new patron gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail. Patreon.com/LSU football. All you got to do is send me a message on Patreon and I'll send it to you. But go sign up. We got a really fun community, a really fun Discord, patreon.com/LSU football. If you really go break it down, which I did, you would be shocked at how good the hit rates were before Ed Orgeron changed the defense and after. I mean, it was so freaking clutch that LSU had so many four-star defensive players not only play but exceed their recruiting ranking. Hell, they had a lot of three-stars. And this is post-2007 LSU. So we're talking about like 2011 to 2017. And then after that, that 2018 period is when things started to really turn downwards. LSU had a 75% blue chip hit rate from 2011 to 2017 when it comes to four-star defensive recruits or better. And since then, that has dropped down into the 30 percentile ranking. And I gave very soft rankings. If you played and gave us something, you got a plus grade from me. But there's not been a lot of those guys that have played and given you something, which is very, very crazy to think about. So now that LSU's defensive coaching is going to be a lot better, I think you will see more good four-star level talent produce at a four and potential five-star level grade. And it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Like, there is very little doubt in my mind that Blake Baker will get more out of the same caliber of players that we had coming into LSU during that time period that were just good four and five star level players. And, you know, you'll have some guys, let's say like a Sage Ryan, who will give you five star production instead of three ish star production. So, you know, for me, I'm looking forward to that. I really, really, really am. And you won't have as many Antoine Sampas that just did not work out. You won't have as many Jordan Toles, who turned out to be a good player, but elsewhere. So I'm looking forward to it. I really am. Let's go to Jared. He says, they should have made UT at LSU a priority. We need our return game. True. But Oklahoma, I don't know how good Oklahoma is going to be next year. Obviously, they did some really good things in the transfer portal. But I would much rather play Oklahoma than Texas. I also think another schedule win for LSU is they did not get Tennessee And I think Tennessee's going to be good. I really do think so. They have play caller continuity. Their trenches got better, obviously, at the expense of us. And they'll probably have better quarterback play next year. So we also don't have to play Tennessee. Maybe Hugh Freeze's Auburn gets going. We don't have to play them either. And I don't know. I've gone back and forth on what Texas A&M did, getting Mike Elko and Colin Klein. I've gone back and forth on it. But we'll see. Now, you know one thing that's really stood out to me is how many LSU fans still want their Kansas State rematch. There's so many that want it because of how Kansas State fans acted after beating LSU with Jontre Kirkland at quarterback. I want a Kansas State rematch, and I'm happy to tell you that I think it could happen in the playoff. Kansas State has grown on me. Avery Johnson is a very promising young quarterback for them. He showed out in the historic first annual Pop-Tart Bowl. So, I'm calling it now. LSU will host Kansas State on TNT, first-round playoff game, with Charles Barkley and Baton Rouge on the call, and Ernie Johnson. Huh? Oh, God. That is fantastic. Let's see. That's interesting. I've gotten a few Saints questions in after our segment yesterday with Sean Fox. I also released a new podcast on Believe in Saints with a lot of the audio from Sean Fox. On this day in 1972, Al Copeland opened the first Popeyes, and it was initially known as Chicken on the Run. This was texted to me. Tom Loy of 247 Sports put in a crystal ball for Damian Shanklin, who is a top 50 recruit on 247's rankings. The young man at Indianapolis who I met with at the spring game. Damian Shanklin gets another crystal ball. So, what I want to do, and here's what we're going to do. In the next 10 to 15, I'll take as many questions as we possibly can. But if you do Super Chat, we'll keep it going. I don't give a damn about the NBA Finals tonight. I'm kidding. I am actually very invested in the NBA Finals. And I really want the Dallas Mavericks to win. But I'll miss the entire first half if you guys want to keep the show going. So, take a look at the 2025 class. LSU, the second-ranked national class. Bryce Underwood, Harlan Berry, Jabari Antoine, we talked about a minute ago. Tyler Miller, top 100 offensive lineman. Devin Harper, top 100 offensive lineman. Charles Ross, JT Lindsey, Teron Francis, Keelan Moses, who we talked about quite a bit. J.D. LaFleur and Brett Bordelon. Now, you add Damian Shanklin to this mix. That's another top 100 recruit. That would be, what, LSU's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th top 100 recruit. And this is after you lost to Corian Moore. Thank you for the Super Jared, who you might be getting back. Might, big word. It's starting to look like Georgia recruiting, y'all. I mean, that's ridiculous, the level LSU is recruiting right now. It really is. It really, really, really is. And we'll see. You know, I like Damian Shanklin. I do. There's just a lot of steam. So you have Damian Shanklin. You have Brandon Brown, who you feel really good about. Those are two defensive linemen. Zion Williams. His name slips my mind, but there was another big defensive lineman from Louisiana, from Shreveport, who visited LSU today. He's a 2026. I don't talk too much about 2026s because it's really early to talk about 2026s. One of y'all sent me some footage of a 2028 wide receiver visiting LSU, and his name is Carter, I believe. But I try to stay away from the 2026s. Unless there's serious, serious steam. So, there you go. Look, I can get the 2026's name really quickly for you, because it slipped my mind. Probably should have wrote that down in my notes. Let's see. Now, I can't find it now. Either way, apparently he's a beast. In 2028, I'll be signing for AARP. I do want to show you this, okay, before we skedaddad here. Look at this. Dear Lord. Dear Lord. Sweet baby Jesus. Or as our friend down south called you, Jesus. Malik Nabers. I mean, I can't quit watching it. It's just giving you Odell vibes with the New York Giants one-handed catch. Ha, ha, ha. Jalen Hyatt from Tennessee, one more time for good measure. Wow. And that was via Charlotte Carroll. You go, Charlotte. What a dude. What a dude. So, there you go. Let's see. We'll take a few more. Pegasus says Kansas State feels some type of way because of how LSU fans spoke down on Kansas State before the game. I'll tell you this. It's kind of crazy, like, how different it would have been if Garrett Nussmeier had started that game, right? Let's just say Garrett Nussmeier starts. He kills it, and he is like the Miller Moss can't miss starter. But if that's the case, Jaden Daniels probably never comes to LSU. So Gary Nussmeier's decision to sit out of the bowl game, I honestly thought he should have played. But it turned out to be the right decision, and I was an idiot. I didn't think it was like the absolute biggest deal either way, because it was a bowl game, and the way the Orgeron tenure was, it was kind of hard to get too excited about that game. But in the grand scheme of things, it worked out for the better, and Garrett Nussmeier made the right decision. Now, that decision, I think he would have done well versus Kansas State. That decision probably cost him, you know, 2 years of starts, but it worked out because he wouldn't have been the same level of player he is now had he started when he did, if that makes sense. And we wouldn't have been as good of a team without Jaden Daniels as our starter. So thank goodness Garrett Nussmeier had the foresight to do that. It is still crazy, though, how much every single game matters in college football. Every single one of them. And that's what makes this sport so freaking special. It makes it so unfreaking believably special. Don't you think Florida Gator fans think every single day, what if we didn't sit Kyle Pitts out versus LSU? What difference would it have made in that game? Would that have gotten us over the hump in that very close, chaotic game? And that was the beginning of the end of the Dan Mullen era. Now, they still wouldn't have beaten Alabama the next weekend in the SEC title game, but it did change a lot for Florida. So, there you go. LA Mom is loving the Florida downturn. Now, once again, I am leaning towards us going live tomorrow. I don't know if we will be able to, though, because I am traveling. But I'm looking forward to a fun weekend in Baton Rouge and Gonzales. I am going to Vegas, so I can't wait to meet so many new viewers and see so many viewers, and in particular Jared. I know Jared and I are really excited because we're bros, but I'm super excited to see each and every one of you. Now, big shout out to our top super chatter of the evening. His name is Jared Addison. And comment below if you liked the tube lights. I don't know if I'll be able to use them for every live stream, but let me know what you guys think. Does it look cool or does it look scrubby? Let me know. It is Power Hour LSU Boom. And tonight, we're doing a New York strip. Let's go. Let's go.